Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Well, this is kind of like one of those messages this morning. I wasn't really sure what was going to happen last night, and I'm kind of feeling very much the same this morning, and I very much just want to allow God to do what He wants to do. And then sometimes you kind of, you go through stuff in life or you go to prepare a message and you kind of really, I ask myself the question, is this more for me than it is for anyone else? And I think that as I'm going through this, it may become obvious that it's probably more for me than anyone else in this room, but I want to just continue on in our series that we've been doing, that there is more. And I'm excited about that for you personally, for your life, for your family, for your business, for your studies, for your sport, every area of life God is interested in, and that God's got more for us. And we've been looking at different aspects of that, just what a great God, week one, just around the incredible Creator and just phenomenal God that we've got. And there's just so much more for us to experience who He is, and He's always offering more of Himself for us to experience. There's not a limit to that. And we've just taken a look at a bunch of different things, Pentecost and faith, and Michael did discipleship and our relationship with Him. And I want to build on some of those messages from the last few weeks and just really hitting home in a topic that is I've personally wrestled with for different ways. And I never thought I would have to wrestle with this topic in the way that I'm going to talk about it this morning. So this is a little bit kind of like, is anyone else a verbal processor? Yeah. Okay, and if you don't know what that means, then obviously, you know, you're not. But, you know, when you're talking sometimes, you're kind of like just working things through in your mind and stuff. So bear with me as I ramble on like a hobo this morning a little bit. But what I want to really kind of jump into this morning is I want to encourage us that there is more when it comes to intimacy. There is more when it comes to intimacy. And by intimacy, I mean that it's closeness with another person. We're talking about the kind of intimacy that develops between friends as you start to share life together and you share meals and you share experiences and you share the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, you share the tears and the laughter and you share funny moments and tough moments and, you know, the job interviews and the arrival of the first child or, you know, exams or sporting stuff or fun times, sleep, whatever it is. It's just, you know, you share life and you begin to, over time, have a foundation of shared experiences that bring you together and you just start to share more and more of yourself and give of yourself and they give of themselves to you. And the dictionary.com would say that intimacy is the state of being intimate. Don't you love that when you go to find a definition for something, they use the word in the definition you're trying to understand? It's like, really? Okay, anyway, moving on. It's got, but then it actually says, intimacy is a close, familiar, and usually affectionate or loving personal relationship with another person or group. Just want to say from the outset that God has created us for intimacy. He's created us for intimacy. And there are going to be some people in the room this morning that you're going to get a little bit uncomfortable, and I make no apology for that, because if you're uncomfortable when we start to talk about intimacy, it means that there's a whole world of intimacy for you to experience. Maybe you did and life has happened and you no longer have that. I'm excited for you, and I believe that what I'm going to share is stuff that I've lived through myself and I've seen God work in my life and in other people's lives, that it actually works. That can lead you to a place of intimacy maybe that you've never experienced or haven't experienced for some time. The reality is when we lose intimacy with someone, we've shared all those experiences like I said just before, And we lose intimacy, it actually just hurts. It's just painful. And there's usually a reason why, right? There's usually a why there's a breakdown in relationship. It's, is it me or is it them? And of course, it's always them. It's always them, right? It's always them. But when we think about intimacy being broken apart or we lose intimacy, it's like there's two bits of Velcro that are stuck together, have become one in a friendship, a marriage, or whatever the case may be. And when it's torn apart, there's that sound of Velcro being ripped apart. But I don't know if you've ever noticed with Velcro that's been around for a while, somehow it just picks up lint and fluff and different stuff in there. And it's when you rip it apart, there's a bit of fluff on this one, there's a bit on that, there's a bit of string on that one, another little bit of string on that one. It's almost like, it's kind of like symbolic of that when we're in an intimate relationship, we give of ourselves, we give a part of ourselves to them and they give part of themselves to us, and you can't get that back. And that's why we've got to be very, very careful who we go into intimacy with. And God has created boundaries for intimacy, sexual relationships, and the confines of marriage, because when you start to give yourself away in that way, you can't get that back. And God designed that to be shared and enjoyed and experienced. And I'm not preaching on that this morning, but what happens when that separates and breaks, it's not just a physical, but there's a spiritual implication to that separation. And that's why, apart from all the obvious, spiritually, that's why separation, when it comes to marriage or people that have been sleeping together outside of marriage, there is just such pain and there's just such difficulty that comes with that. But whether you've lost a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or you've lost your best friend, or whether you've experienced or seen other people experience divorce, it's just hurts. There's just pain that's involved. But again, I want to tell you that God's created us for intimacy. He's created us for intimacy. Let me ask you this question. In your relationship with God, who withdraws? Because when we think about God, my understanding of God in the Bible is that He's immutable, He's unchanging, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Jesus that I'm in love with 5 years ago is still the same Jesus. Who's changed? I'm the one that's changed. And so we have this amazing, incredible God, but because life happens, stuff happens, then we start to separate. And I think one of the things that I want us to know this morning is that the pain we experience when somebody breaks away or pulls back or withdraws from us for a reason or no reason, and the pain we feel when we withdraw from God, God feels that same heartache and pain. Because He's not done anything wrong. He's a perfect God. I mean, as the great philosopher Bono would say from U2, he would say that God cops a lot of blame for stuff that man should get the blame for. And so because of man's action or inaction, we blame God because of that. And so we withdraw. We have this idea. And God feels that, church. He feels that. And so we're created for intimacy, and God is there desiring intimacy with us. And yet sometimes in my observation and even personal experience, I just see that we crave this intimacy, or this, call it a need if you like, and we try to find it. We try to find that need to be met. We try to find that sense of belonging, to be validated, to be loved, to be acknowledged, to be accepted, valued, appreciated, being cared for, and being needed. And all of those things are great. They're all needs that God has created us with that need in our life. But what I've noticed with some people is that they search for that need to be met in all the wrong places. And so what can happen is that we try to fill that need, and the need then turns into neediness. And suddenly that person becomes more than just wanting a need met, they become needy. And so the reality is that need that's within our life, that God's created us in that way, is like it's almost like a black hole. It's like a bottomless pit that can't be filled by any temporal material thing, or dare I say, earthly relationship. And it's like no matter we try to fill it with more and more, and what happens with some people is that need becomes neediness, and then they put demands or expectations on people because as much as they get, they just want more. And so what happens is it starts to repel people because they've shifted from relationship into neediness and high maintenance. Now, I know this doesn't relate to anyone in this room, but I'm sure we all know somebody that's like this. But sometimes if we don't actually acknowledge or we don't understand, there's actually a driver behind the neediness. It's a God-created need that's been trying to be met in the wrong way. And so what happens is that people then try to kind of have that need met, they become very needy, and they try to control, they try to manipulate, and they try to kind of like just keep that relationship all to themselves. And what people end up doing is going, get stuffed, you're just, whoa, that's just too much. But most people kind of don't take the time to really think in what's driving behind that, and they just go, man, I just don't need this in my life. Ain't nobody got time for that. And so people just withdraw. And what I want to propose to us this morning is unless this need is met first and foremost through a relationship with Jesus Christ, we may not, I don't think, necessarily experience the fullness of what relationships in life can possibly be. Because God desires intimacy with us. You know, one of the things I love about God is that if He creates us a particular way, He doesn't kind of sit back up in heaven with Jesus at His right hand and the Holy Spirit hovering around, and God's created us with this need, and He kind of like crosses His arms and kind of like then whacks Jesus and goes, Jesus, check this out. Let's see how they handle this need. And then, Holy Spirit, don't get involved. Back off. Let's just go and see how these humans deal with that need. We've created them with the need. let's just have a bit of fun and just see what they do with it. And a lot of people are trying to work out what to do with it without God. And it's not kind of ending that well. They're coming up with all sorts of, well, we need to change the rules now. We need to kind of like make it so that this feels good. But then somebody smarter goes, no, that's not right. It should be this. And they go, okay, well, let's go with what they're saying. And it's all kind of just relative around what we think should be done and should be right. But see, one of the things I love about God is that God will actually say, I've created you with a need, and I've actually created and put into place a universal principle that if you live out of this principle, you'll have the need met. In every area of life, whether that's in the area of finance, God's given us a fail-safe financial proof method for us to live with more than enough. He's put the principle in place in Scripture, but we choose to do things our own way. We wonder why things don't always work out. Well, just get on board God's principle and you realize that things work out. So relationally, in this area of intimacy, God's actually created the need, and he's actually created the principle by which we should live out of to have that need met. So we don't have to go searching for it in all the wrong places. You see, God says something like this. He says, love me with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love me first and foremost. That's where I need to start intimacy from. That's where real intimacy starts from. See, God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So instead of trying to search for it in my own strength, in my own so-called wisdom or intellect or understanding, I just go back to what the Bible has to say. Because God's actually created the need, he's created the principle for us to meet that need, and it's out of that life works. But what happens is when people kind of decide to move away from this and apply their own principle, stuff doesn't work. And yet God goes, okay, Phil, if you kind of love me with all your heart, soul, and strength, if you kind of desire intimacy with me because I'm the only one that can fill that bottomless pit of need that I created you with, because I'm an eternal God. I've got an eternal supply of love, of joy, of peace that you need. What you get over here isn't an eternal supply. People can only give you so much, but yet we crave. If we can build our life on this, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other things will fall into place. Because it's out of this place of intimacy with God, when I am tight with God, when I'm walking close with God, when I'm learning to understand his voice more, I begin to understand that, you know what, he says to me, hey, Phil, don't walk that way. Walk that way. Hey, just be aware of that voice that's speaking into your life. Listen to this voice instead, because it'll take you where you need to go. Hey, you know what? As you draw near to me, and as you love me with all your heart, soul, and strength, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, I can direct you into a position and a path and a place where you're going to meet the right person. But that all comes out of a centeredness and intimacy with God, loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and strength. You know what I've loved, and I don't want to name people in this room, but I've observed people in this room that have so-called maybe sacrificed things that the world has to offer because they've desired to do this. But over the years, I've actually seen them actually, God blessing and ordering the steps of a good man being ordered by the Lord, because they keep coming back to this foundational place of intimacy and not trying to find it elsewhere. And it's just amazing to see over the years how life is just seems to be working out. And yet I see other people that are clutching and trying to grab and do things in their own way, applying their own principles or the latest fad, trend, whatever. And it's just amazing how it doesn't necessarily work out. Because God's ways work. You see, this whole idea of intimacy, kind of loving him with all my heart, soul, and strength, it's in this place that I begin to understand who I am because of whose I am. And it says a stability and there's a security that comes into my world that I then go into other relationships and can actually build strong, meaningful relationships, because I'm coming out of a place of stability and security into other relationships with people. And there's any principle that any area of life that we can think about or that we're challenged by, we can go to God's word and go, okay, what's the principle I need to live my life out of? And it's out of that place that you start to operate out of a place of stability and security and the right kind of confidence, not arrogance, but just a confidence. God's created us for intimacy, first and foremost with Him, church. And can I just ask, and I want to keep us coming back to that place of just coming back to intimacy with Jesus. You know, it just made me think about God, that throughout Scripture, He's created places and spaces for humanity to meet with Him because He desires intimate relationship. See, before time began itself, we know that God was, He was and is to come. He's the Alpha and the Omega. There is no beginning, there is no end with God. He is eternal. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has always been. And so therefore, within that context, we have an amazing role model of relationship, of intimacy, of family, of community, of connectedness. The three are one. That's He's role modeled that to us. So when He created creation, so that's the God that we have. So let's have a look at some of the places and spaces that God created for us to experience intimacy with Him. If we go to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, we see that this God that I've just spoken on creates the world in 6 days. Man is created on the sixth, but day seven is a day of rest. And we're told that God came to hang out and dwell with man because God desires intimacy. He desires relationship. But it wasn't just anywhere. God created this beautiful place called the Garden of Eden that was so tranquil and peaceful. And it was just such a beautiful, pollution-free place that God could just come and just hang out uninhibited with man because He just longed to hang out. Church, can I tell you, He doesn't want what you can produce. He doesn't want the stuff or the things like that. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. And when He's got your heart, all the other stuff can flow. And so we've got this beautiful garden situation where God comes and He hangs out with humanity and this intimate relationship. And then we see that even when man messes it up, I mean, it would have been like just done, but no. God still comes and He comes looking. He knows they've messed up, but He still comes looking. Do you know what? You might have messed up this week, but God still is looking for you this morning. And you've come here today, and thank you for being here today, but I want to let you know that Jesus has been waiting here for you this morning through His Spirit with open arms, wanting to embrace you. Doesn't matter how you've messed up, He will come looking for you. You can run, but you can't hide. He will chase you down because He loves you, recklessly pursue you. And God does that in the garden. He comes down and God speaks. And what does man do? Hey guys, where are you? What does man do? They hide. Like, I don't know if you ever get caught doing something wrong. You usually run, right? Or you try to hide. You've done something wrong. Dad comes home. I'm out of here. I'm gone. It's just, you know, that human response. You know, God knows. He goes looking. He calls out. They hide. And some of us have been hiding from God's voice. Some of us have been hiding from stuff that God has asked you to do for years and years. Can I propose to you this morning? Maybe God's not speaking to you now because you haven't been obedient to what He asked you to do in the first place. Ouch. But God calls, they hide, but He still pursues them because He wants relationship. And they kind of come out and they've got a couple of, you know, fig leaves sewn and, you know, I don't know how even they sewed them together, but there's fig leaves and they're sewn together and God goes, guys, what are you doing? That's not enough. So what do we see? We see God making the first sacrifice to cover mankind's shame and guilt. And He's still doing that today through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood He shed on the cross, that He has come to cover and remove our shame and guilt. But yet there's the first example of where God created a specific place and space to meet with man. Let's jump into the Old Testament a little bit further, and there's other examples, but one that really highlights to me is the tent of meeting. So when Moses was out in the desert with the children of Israel and they're trekking around, God again didn't want to stay removed. He wanted to be in with His people. He wanted to be in that intimate space with His people. So He gives Moses the instructions about how to build a tent, very specific. And when we talk about a tent in Old Testament times, we're talking about a home, a house, a dwelling place. So we've got a home of meeting. Is another way that we could call the tent of meeting. What a beautiful language that is. Don't get me wrong, it was incredibly sacred and it was holy and we should have had to be reverenced and people were in awe and holy fear. But we've got to not forget that God initiated this because He wanted to hang out with His people. Not only that, He wanted to be at the center of His people. 12 tribes, 3 to the north, east, south, and west, all kind of situated around the tent of meeting. And within that tent of meeting was the ark, which housed the presence of God. God wanted to be at the center of his people's lives. God wants to be at the center of our lives. And for as long as this church exists, we will be unashamedly revolve everything around the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will be the center of what we do. We want him to be the center of who we are, what we do, and I pray that he would be the center of our lives. So let's jump to the arrival of Christ, because in the garden we see divinity creates the space to connect with humanity. We see that in the tent of meeting, we see that divinity meets with humanity in that way. But here we have Jesus coming to earth, divinity meeting with humanity again. But in fact, it's actually divinity becoming humanity to hang out with humanity. What an incredible example and reminder that God wants intimacy. God longs for relationship. He wants our heart. I see that Jesus cruising around. He's got his 12, but he's also got his 3, and he's got his 1. Peter, James, and John, but he's got John, the disciple that Jesus loved. Which one are you? Which one am I? See, part of this sermon for me over the last 3 or 4 months, been some stuff on processing. We might get time to get to it in a minute. Just sitting there and the Holy Spirit just sort of said, Phil, son, where you at? I'm like, yeah, good. He's like, no, where's our intimacy? I'm going, oh, come on, Lord, you know, we're good. He goes, no. I went, hang on a sec. I felt and I know that in my heart that I've been like the one. There's been times where I can identify where I've been one of the three. But I found myself in this place where I just go, I think I'm feeling like one of the 11, if I'm lucky, right now, if I was to be honest. And so the Holy Spirit said, hey, Phil, let's talk about that. I'm just going, yeah, nah. I'm good. Go and see Michael. He needs it more than me. Really, come on, we all know. He needs it more than me. So we have this conversation. And I start to revisit the life of Christ, the disciples, the three, the one. I started to reflect on Jesus' life and his loving and serving in such a deep and meaningful way on how we are to interact and respect and love and honor people regardless of race, color, creed, religion, sexuality. Jesus did not judge. He clearly demonstrated his concern, and he shows throughout his life that he's able to meet every area of need that we have in our life. Physically, practically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. Jesus can do that. And we take a look at the life of Christ and we know that he prioritized his life to maintain intimacy with the Father. Some would say that he spent a third of his life praying, a third of his life teaching, and a third of his life doing miracles and things. But regardless of where Jesus found himself, he always made the priority of getting to this place of intimacy with the Father. Because he knew that everything had to start and flow out of here before he could go out and do that. So regardless of the hustle and bustle of life, regardless of his name being in lights potentially, regardless of people shouting his name and saying, we want to make you king, regardless of all the miracles that he did and people flocking around him, and I'm sure that tugged at his heartstrings that maybe I could go and heal some more, but he just knew that he had to make the priority of coming to this place of intimacy with the Father. Because we've got to understand that everything that Jesus did came out of this place. Everything Jesus did. Turn the person next to you and say, everything Jesus did. So everything that Jesus did came out of this place of intimacy with the Father. The miracles, the direction, where he was to go, what he was supposed to say, who he was supposed to talk to. Don't go to that village, go to that township. No, withdraw from that crowd, come up to the mountain, spend time with me. You see it in John chapter 6. Great example of Jesus making the priority of intimacy with the Father. Everything that he did came out of that. So I'm thinking about my conversation, me and the Holy Spirit chatting, then I'm thinking about the life of Jesus. And so over the next few minutes, the stuff that I'm about to share will resonate with some of you in this room. But for some of you might not necessarily connect deeply with what I'm about to say. And for that, I'm glad, because it means that you haven't been betrayed, you haven't been let down, you haven't been disappointed maybe in relationship. But maybe at some point of your life, if not now, you're going to have people in your life that are going to go through some hardship, relationship breakdown, or questions, or different things. And I believe that this, what we're about to just discuss for a few minutes, has incredible hope and power. These words have incredible hope and power because there is power, there is hope in the name of Jesus, in the person of Jesus. Because when I begin to take a look at Jesus and this whole area of intimacy, we know that when he approaches the cross and his final mission to be accomplished here on earth, we know that he's betrayed. He's betrayed by those that are closest to him. He's denied by those that are closest to him. He's left to suffer on his own. Does anyone relate to that in any way, shape, or form? Jesus knows how you feel. But you see, when he was hanging on the cross, and something jumped out at me when I revisited Christ's passion experience and his crucifixion on the cross, that just kind of like spoke deeply into my situation and circumstance, and that is that when he was hanging on that cross, there wasn't just the tragedy and the heart-wrenching that we know, because Jesus is hanging there after being tortured and brutalized, and he's in excruciating pain. He still has the ability, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. What a powerful message that is to those who betray or hurt or disappoint us. But what we actually see is that if I just tried to explain just briefly that everything that Jesus did came out of this place of intimacy with the Father, that Jesus and the Father were so tight, they were so intimate, a role model to us about the depth of relationship. We will be as intimate with the Father as we choose to be. And Jesus made the priority of intimacy with the Father. So in my mind, how I see their relationship is this intertwined, intermeshed, so intimately close and tight and personal and deep, and all those other words that describe that's the kind of relationship they had. And so Jesus is now hanging on the cross, and we know that he's carrying upon himself the sin and the sickness of the world upon himself. And we see in that moment, not long after, that he's actually said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. This beautiful, tight, intertwined relationship that he has with the Father, something devastating happens. Because of what Jesus is carrying, a holy, perfect God, God the Father, cannot and will not tolerate sin. But now the Father is having to look at his sin, not just in pain and being treated so abominably, but his Son is now carrying the very thing that he cannot be in the same presence of, sin. So we're told that the Father had to turn his back on the Son. And right here in these moments, we see the depth of the intimate relationship that Jesus has with his Father, because we hear those words. And I can only imagine that the words that Jesus, I don't know whether he screamed them out or just out of pain and anguish, and just literally because his heart was breaking. But not only is he carrying the sin and sickness of the world, but on top of that, his Father he's so intimately close to has to turn his back and deny him. And he cries out with those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus in that moment experiences separation, the breakup of an intimate relationship. And he takes all of that upon himself, and he gets separated from the Father relationally in that moment. Never had happened before, and he did that for you and I. He did that, separated relationally from his Father and taking all our sins so that we could come to this place and have the intimacy that he himself had. And so you just go, wow, that's amazing that Jesus took that for me, and now I can have this intimate relationship with the creator of the universe, and that can be as deep as I choose it to be. But Jesus and the Father had to experience that separation. The good news is when Jesus rose from the dead, we know that he conquered sin and sickness. He overcame death and hell. He rose again in a new body, a glorified body. So he overcame all of that. But do you know what excited my heart out of this more than that, if it's possible, was that I had this picture that Jesus was restored back into relationship with the Father. That gives me hope. It gives me hope that regardless of how much I get disappointed or betrayed or what happens in my life, that there is hope because Jesus has been through it and he's come through it and he's victorious over it and he's now living back reunited with the Father. Maybe you're separated from, you feel as though you're separated from God this morning. Can I just tell you there is hope for you? He's waiting. He's waiting for you to come back to this place of intimacy. See, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God except your choice. to keep him at arm's length. And so I love the hope that is shown in this crucifixion passage of not just sin and sickness being dealt with, but we see intimate relationship is broken. So Jesus knows how you feel. If you've been through any kind of separation, you've been through any kind of disappointment in relationship, you've had an intimate, deep relationship, whether it was a parent, whether it was a friend, whether it was a partner, whether it was whatever it was, something that was deep and intimate for you that was broken, Jesus knows how you feel more than you realize. And he wants to speak words of hope and freedom into your situation this morning. As I was thinking about that, going back to my conversation with Holy Spirit, and he's kind of having a bit of a chat about intimacy with me, began to think about a couple of things that have happened where I've just kind of just gone, where my intimacy with the Father has been affected, which more often than not will affect relationships with others. And without even realizing it, we can start to withdraw from people, or we just hold people at arm's length. On the outside, it's like, hey, I'm Pastor Phil, I've got all my crap together, right? No, I don't. No, I don't. I remember through a bunch of difficult circumstances, and the majority of which stuff happened that was out of my control. My integrity got questioned. My character got questioned. There was no right of reply. I couldn't rebut any of the comments that were being said. Things were being said to me. And you're kind of like, you know, you just got to cop all of that. And you've got to hold on to those scriptures that here's my vindicator, here's my judge, that over time the word of the Lord will be proven true through my life. And it's by my fruits in my life that God will produce in and through me that will actually kind of tell the truth to the people that have been told stuff that's untruth about me. You know, that kind of stuff, right? Anyone know what I'm talking about? No? Okay. But with that comes the rage and just wanting to bless people with a fivefold ministry gift really hard. And just go, you know, I'm sure the Bible says whatever you do, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. So if I'm going to hit someone, let's just do it properly. Punch them in the throat as hard as I can in Jesus' name. There's all this stuff, you know, that but getting the right kind of support, getting the right kind of help. You know, I'm talking about God desires intimacy, and we should be finding our intimacy out of this space first before we move into relationships. We still need relationships. We still need people. See, I'm not saying for some people they get to this super spiro kind of space. It's like, well, I've got Jesus and that's all I need. No. Next few minutes maybe we'll speak into that. But I realized that kind of like what started to happen, and I kind of worked through the emotion and the psychological side of all of that stuff that was going on, and that seemed good. And I thought I was doing pretty well until you kind of get alone with Jesus. And then all of a sudden there's this kind of like just little gentle knock. You know, there's kind of like areas of our heart that are just kind of like, do not enter. There's a little door, do not enter. And it was like in the garden on a Saturday, as you know, God speaks to me when kind of like just doing stuff like that. And I just felt the Lord say, fill the couple that are looking after worship at church, you need to go to them and you need to actually say to them, you're going to let them into your heart. I'm just going, that's weird. I already have. I'm the pastor. Everyone's in my heart, Jesus. So like, they're all there. We're all a happy family. He's like, no. See that little knocking on this door, just do not enter. I'm just going, well, leave that one alone. Go and see Michael. Because he needs it more than I do. This room, leave that room alone, because nothing in all creation is hidden from God. He knows what's behind that door, but he's not going to kick it down. He knows that door that's in your life that says do not enter, and you've kept him out. On the outside, it's fine. And I pray, Holy Spirit, even now, and I'm not trying to revisit or dig up stuff that's been dealt with. I'm not talking about that. But this morning, I pray that if there's an area of your life that has been left undealt with, that's got do not enter on it, as mine had, that you would just start to hear that gentle knock on the door. Because I've just gone, okay, Lord, I know it's kind of a residual kind of after effect of everything that I went through. And so next day at church, after the worship had finished, I went up to the guys and I said, guys, this is going to sound really weird. And I kind of got a little bit emotional. And I was just like, I've got to let you guys into my heart. And I kind of just started to cry. And it's almost like I could feel that door open, that I'd actually kind of like just shut on the Lord and put do not enter there. And as that door opened, and I'm looking at these guys, and then they said, they started to cry, and they said, Phil, you know what, we've been praying this week, and That's what we feel we need to do to you because we've been hurt, we've been disappointed, we've been let down. And we're kind of like, we just had this little tear fest thing going on, and door opens and incredible light and warmth and love and just grace just poured into that room. Can I tell you this morning that if you have the courage to open that door, He's not coming in to judge or condemn or to beat you down. He's coming in to bring healing and restoration and wholeness. Because the Jesus that I know that rose from the dead, He conquered sin, He conquered sickness, He rose in a new glorified body, restored back into whole total relationship with the Father. That's what He desires for our life. And He's got the authority, He's got the power to do it. But it's up to us to open that door. Because we've all been through stuff, right? Or if you haven't been through intense stuff where you've got some of those doors in your life, I'm really happy for you. But we've got to know that people that we deal with, that there is hope, no matter how tragic or how hard the circumstance is that they're going through, the pain that they're experiencing, I may never be able to actually understand, but I know somebody who can and who does. And who's got the power and the ability to walk with them and to see them come into a place of wholeness and completeness. I don't know about you, but when it comes to these situations that we go through in life, David writes this psalm, Psalm 55. Maybe you can relate to this. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I'm overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. And here it is. This is the verses that I love. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape far from this wild storm of hatred. Ever felt like that? Ever felt like that? I love the fact that we have a Jesus that understands. And more recently, if you would allow me just a couple of minutes, more recently, probably the trigger for this little kind of Holy Spirit conversation that I had around a friendship where some stuff actually just happened and sort of out of my control, but you know how you can go through stuff and it's not till like a year, two, or maybe 3 years later do you realize kind of what you've gone through? Maybe I'm just a bit thick. But some stuff happened, and it was one of those ones where just the pain and the disappointment, the trust, the betrayal, all of that kind of stuff that happened. And as I was going through that, I started to think to myself, I don't want to go back to where I was last time. I don't want to have that door shut in my heart where it says, do not enter. And so I had to come back to this place of, where is my security? Where is my stability? Where is my strength? Where is my comfort? Who is my strong tower who I can run into and be safe? And just coming back to this place of understanding and being reminded about God desires intimacy for me, that when those things happen in our life, that we don't have to go down a self-destructive pathway. We don't have to come to a place where we end up with doors in our heart that are shut saying, do not enter. But God is a God of grace, and He invites us to a place of intimacy with Him where He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. You don't have to carry this on your own anymore. Phil, if you come to a place of intimacy with me, that's where your confidence will come from. That's when your stability and your security will come from. And as you continue to seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, my son, I love you so much. I'm going to guide you. Don't go that way, but just go this way. And I know that your heart is breaking at the moment and you've got a broken heart, but hey, just listen to my voice. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to direct you where you need to go. So that I don't just go off in the way that I think is right, which when we're kind of like heartbroken and world is all messed up and all around is sinking sand, it's not really clear thinking that's kind of necessarily happening. But can I encourage us to come back to that place of intimacy? That place of intimacy, the last place I believe that God, space, dare I say person, more importantly, that God has given us, that He shows that He wants intimacy with us, is Jesus said, I will give you another the Comforter. He's given us, another is in Greek, allos, means of the same kind. Like Jesus, we know the Holy Spirit. And the Greek for Holy Spirit comforter here is parakletos, the paraclete, the advocate, the helper, the aid. And Jesus said he's not just going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. You can't get more intimate than that, church. We have a God that just desires intimate relationship with us, that he is in us, he's with us, and we can develop and engage and get into intimacy with him as much as we choose to. So finally this morning as we close, for me what I had to kind of like do, working through and not wanting to return to a place of having do not enter on my heart, and looking back over the last 3 years since this has happened and taking a look at it, I can say that, you know what, I did a much better job, but by the grace of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit, working through what was, for me, just having a broken heart. But what I realized through all of that was that because there was not enough intimacy with God, that it has affected some of my friendships. Not in a negative way. They wouldn't even know, but I know in myself that I've held back. That I've just sort of like just kept them a little bit because I don't want to get hurt again. But yet coming to this place of intimacy with Jesus over the last month or so, afresh for me, if I can just be open with you this morning, come back to me is just like opened up a fresh kind of willingness to not just love my friends and those around me more, but to allow them to love me. Letting them in to my heart. I don't know if this makes sense to anyone else. Like I said, this is one of those messages where I think it's more about me than anyone else in this room. So I appreciate you this morning letting me verbally process. But what it did require me, Psalm 46, let's close with this, says, be still and know that I am God. So busy, so busy, so busy. If the devil can't make us sin, he'll make us busy. Coming back to this place of stillness, be still and know. Be still and know. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am your healer. Shh, just be still. Just be still and just know. Know that you know that you know that he loves me. Know, be still and know that he can provide for your need. Be still and know that if you let him into that room, it's going to be filled with light, forgiveness, freedom. Be still and know that the chains that are holding you back, he can break. Be still and know that he is there for you and he's never forsaken you. He's been with you every step of the way and he wants to be with you every step of the way. Be still and know that you will be as intimate as you choose to be. Please don't keep God like that. Don't go seeking for that need to be met somewhere else. It's all found in him. Be still and know he is I am all that you need. Be still and know that he is greater than anything you face. Be still. Be still and know he desires intimacy with you and me.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.